That means you'd give me now to eternity because it's all in here. Best there is. It's like this boy, he's tongue-tied and he'd sit back there and preach getting gooder and gooder and neater and neater. And days passed by, years passed by. One day he didn't show up to church, so the preacher went by the house to see him. Got there and he wasn't there, so went to the hospital and he was there. Said, "Preacher, I know to do it sooner or later." Said, "That preaching done got to my blood. That's new to be this." It gets sweeter and sweeter. The more you look at it, the better it gets. It done got to his blood. Looks like it got to y'all's blood. That's why you're here. There's a lot in this good book. It's God's Word. God, my Father, speaking to me. Speaking to you. So in 1 Timothy, he comes up and says, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. There's three words right here. Three words that I'd like for you to take seriously. It says, "Till I come." But he hadn't got here. He says, "Till I come." Isaiah asked the Lord, "How long, Lord?" He said, "Till I come." Okay, he says here, "Till I come." Give attendance to, what's the first one?
Reading.
To, exhortation. To, doctrine. And I was looking at that, and it says, to reading. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing the Word of God. If we can catch that right there. Faith cometh by hearing. You know why there's little faith? You've never heard. You know why we're discouraged? Because we've never read. You don't know nothing unless you've read it. One of the things so many people do. Have you read the Bible today? Oh yeah, I've read it. And you know what? The Bible will be sitting on there, on the table in front of the couch. Everybody's got to have one of them. It says family Bible. Everybody's got to have one of them. You know what? That thing's never opened. They pass by and, you know, they've got these glasses and the bottom half is, looks like magnifying glasses or something. They'll pass by and, Holy Bible. Have you read the scriptures today? Oh, yeah, I did. I read it. It said, Holy Bible. That's the extent of their knowledge of the scriptures. Do you believe the Bible? Why, I sure do. How many religions go by the Bible today? Just about all of them. They swear by it. And if you really get technical, you'll find out they swear by the old one, not by the new one. Swear by it. Give their life on it. But don't know what it says. If I am going to be judged, I want to know who's going to be my lawyer. I want to know what I'm going to be accused of. If you've never read it, you don't know what you're going to be accused of. That's why the world through and through says, "Yo, well, what are you preaching that way for?" Like we were talking this morning. All you have to do is just get up and open the scriptures and read it. And the people are mad at you. Well, do you believe it? Oh, I believe the Bible. But I don't know about what you're saying. No, because they don't know what's in there. If we're going to stand, we're going to have to read it. It says, read. And then it says, to exhortation. It's easy to read something, but can you put it in practice? Can you put it in gear? If you don't exhort yourself. In Spanish, there's a word to call amortiguar. It sounds something like a shock absorber, like a spring. If you don't have one of them things on your car, it's kind of rough. Real rough. You can't ride in the seat very long. And if you're going to live a Christian life, you got to have some of them things on your car. You got to. And it says, I look at that. First, you read. Then you exhort yourself. And then the last one, it says, to doctrine. Go ye into all the world and what? Preach what you have written, what you have exhorted yourself. Because if they don't, if you haven't read, and if you haven't put it in practice, put your life up to it. You know what? They can't hear what you're saying by your actions. If you can't put up what you're doing, if your actions don't go along with what you're saying, you don't go anywhere. And we to go and tell what you have learned. If you don't tell what you have learned, you're useless. Doesn't the Bible speak of something about with what you measure, you get back? If you don't measure out, you can't get back. You remember when you were about 5 or 6 years old, your mama put on in front of your desk or your table, in front of your plate, a glass of milk or a glass of orange juice. You drank it about halfway down, and then you tell her, Mama, fill it up. What did she say? Finish it up. You know what the Lord said? Finish it up. You know why we can't grow anymore? We haven't given what we've got. We want to keep a little bit. Isn't it a habit of when the table is set, the food, you always leave a little bit in the bottom of the bowl? Everybody's afraid to get the little bit. But did you know the Lord won't fill it back up unless you take everything out? And with what you empty, He'll fill back up. If you measured a small bowl, He will do what? He will fill it, pack it down, and run it over. And there's leftover. If you're wise, you'll empty it. Take what's left over and buy a bigger bowl. You see where I'm going? The next one, you got a bigger bowl. He will fill it up, pack it down, run it over. If it's a bigger bowl, there's more what? Spilled. That means you can buy a bigger bowl. And you can keep going. And did you know, if you don't empty what you have read, you can't fill your bowl back up. That's why He said, to what? Read, exhort, and then go doctrine to people. Go tell them. If you don't empty it out, you got to eat how many times a day? One? No. Some people eat one, and they snidge the rest. Oh, I just eat one meal a day. I remember there used to be a missionary down there with us. He only ate one time a day. But that time a day when he ate, it was a whole chicken. He fasted all day long, for he hurried up and fasted through the day so he could get to the meal at night. And if you went anywhere with him, you better be ready. Not unless you took your own, because he wouldn't stop it. But you know, here we see, read. If you look in Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 19 and 20. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 19 and 20 says, "And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." In other words, if you want to prolong your days, you better read it. You better not go take off to the left or to the right. Face value, take it as it is. Is it easier to take medicine? Just go ahead and take it down. I don't know, nobody in here has ever had this problem taking medicine when they're kids. They give you these pills about that big. Call them horse pills when you're little. Tastes horrible. They give them to you, swallow it. Don't want to. They give you a glass of water, you put it in your mouth, and you drink the whole glass of water, and it's still in your mouth. Why don't you just go ahead and swallow it, and it don't taste bad. If we would go ahead and what we have read, don't wallow it around, take it. It's not easy, but we need to learn how to take it. It's good for us. And then here in Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 8, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "This book is the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." But it says at first here, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." Have you ever tried to keep something in your mouth? Can you do anything with it in there? When you open your mouth, it's got to do what? It comes out. Sometimes we try to swallow our words. We know that won't work. But we need to keep it in our mouth. That means we speak of him day in and day out. It's in our mouth. It's used to speaking. Then we think of reading. Then we think of exhorting. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Says, "Are he that exhorteth, or exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that soweth mercy with cheerfulness." Okay, when we exhort ourselves, when we read, sometimes what we've read and what we try to comprehend, we try to make it what it's not. Little kid was sitting on the front porch, back porch of his house, sitting there crying. Just sitting there, had the Bible in his hand. He was just crying. And his big brother come on. "What's the matter? These scriptures. He sat down and put his arm around him. "Son, Let me tell you the. Let me explain to you these hard things to understand. He said, no, that's not my problem. It's these easy things that I'm having trouble with. The things that I know, that's what I'm having trouble with. Don't choke your life away trying to understand something that's not there. What you know, what you have read, what you understand, use it. It's just like, you know, the bowl that I was talking about with what you measure. If you have emptied it, He can give you more understanding. But if you haven't emptied it, He can't give you no more. Because it ain't but so big. And it ain't as big as you think it is. Right? But I know I measured out more than that. There's still a little bit more. Empty it out. You know, I was talking to this fella up in Pennsylvania quite a few years back, and he was telling me, said, man, I get splitting headaches. I get all nervous. I just get so despondent. I don't know what to do with myself. So I'm taking pills, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, trying to get the anxiety out. I'm just all depressed. I said, I'll tell you how to get rid of it. Real fast. You want to take no more. Every time you get to feeling that way, it's like this here. What's the difference between a lake and a river? What does a river have in it? Running water? A lake has what in it? Water that's what? Stagnant. And in this mind up here, if we don't empty it, it gets stagnant. If we don't take the word of God to a lost and dying world, it gets stagnant. It gets green. And it makes you sick. Yes, God's word will make you sick if it's not washed out. Like anything else, you keep a loaf of bread in the house for a year, and I'll guarantee you, it'll be rough. Or open a can of salmon and leave it sitting under the counter for a while. It'll crawl out. But you know, I told him, I said, you know what, if you would do this here, every time you get to feeling bad, discouraged, headache, cranky, go down the street. Go find your worst descendant. Go find somebody that you don't know. Sort of self is learning how to go out. to edification and exhortation. And what's that last word? Comfort. Does the Word of God comfort you? If you put the first three in order, or the first two in order, the last one will comfort you. But if you can't handle the first two, the last one won't work. It's like trying to get into a vault. You have to open the first door with one type, and then you have to go in the inside and open the other little box with another key. It's not the same key. Who puts the same key of, if you got three or four doors on your house, do you put the same key on all of them? No. Different key on all of them. Because if they can get in, they can unlock the deadbolt, they can do what? They can get on in just with one key. So we think here and we look at this. Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Titus. Yeah. At the end of Timothy. In Spanish, it's Tito. And I say Titito, the little one. See, there's four brothers before you get there. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and then Titito. That's how you can remember it. He's a little book. He's the little one there. Chapter 2, verse 15 says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke. Let no man despise thee. Did I miss anything? It says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with what? All authority. This is my authority. All scriptures. Don't take part of it and don't mess it up. Don't do like Satan did to Eve. Turn it around just a tad bit. Sent the world to hell. Eve's mistake is still causing consequences. Eve made them, we make them. Did you know ours keep on going just like hers? Oh, I died. That's no problem. Everybody's going to die. And it's not stopping. Abraham sinned. Are they, his two boys still not there fighting? They're still fighting. When we were born, are we not still fighting with our brothers? Sin will always fight. And if we don't take, and if we don't read the Word of God, and if we don't exhort, and if we don't go tell, you're going to be most miserable. And you're going to pick a fight and blame everybody else. But it's nobody's fault. Why are we cranky? Our cup's full and running over. Then we think of two doctrine, going and telling. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Put the brethren in remembrance. How do you put them in remembrance? How do you remember what the Bible says? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And without faith, it is impossible. Cannot be any other way. Doesn't matter how you try or what you do. It is impossible to please Him. You cannot. There's no ifs, maybes, buts, or it doesn't matter. You can't. That's why you have all these religions. They're trying to please you by another way. There's one road and one only. No two, no three. I heard it said one time that religion is like a wagon wheel. All spokes lead to the same place. Yeah? All those spokes lead to one place. What's in the center of that place? Hub? Ask a question. Have you ever tried to touch a hub after it's been going down the road a ways? All religions lead to the same place, hell. There's only one road that leads to heaven. No other way. So we look here and we think there. Look at verse 16 now. It says, take heed thereto thyself. No, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And I always wondered about that. How in the world am I going to save myself when I'm saved? Well, I was thinking here, I once was a sinner, but now I'm saved. If I hadn't have taken heed to what the Scripture says, I wouldn't be saved. So I take what I have read and take it to a dying world. You know, you've heard of the saying in other countries, there's heathen. But what is a heathen? Someone that knows not God. And did you know that in this world, In this United States, there are heathens. I don't know how many of y'all have ever heard of Oliver Green, but he used to preach, at the end of his message, when he would pray, he'd say, "Lord, please save the lost church members, the poor lost church members. They are closest to hell, because they have heard and have rejected. He that knoweth to do what doeth it not is what? How many times have they sat there and they've heard and they've heard and they've heard and done nothing about it?" So we think here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 6 says, "Now brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine?" What good will it do if I wasn't preaching the gospel out of the Word of God? What good will it do if I was speaking my own message? It's useless. I didn't die. I didn't die for your sins. Jesus Christ did. He told me to go and tell. They didn't like it. That's not my problem. It was for me to go and tell. But they didn't hear. Oh, that's an old joke. That's an old story. Isaiah said, "Lord, who heard, who understood, who wanted to hear?" Wasn't he crying? Was he not crying? "But they don't want to hear what I have to say." It's no problem. That's their problem, not yours. Your problem is to do what? Read, sort, and go tell, and document. Right? That's our job. Some plant, and some water, and some give increase. No. Some plant, and some water, and God gives the increase. And when we're trying to jump and do something we can't do, we get discouraged and throw up our hands. Lord, like we were speaking this morning, I said, "Man, how did they snitch my message?" But they not want to. The thing is, when we don't see numbers, we think we're failing. You know what the Bible says about somebody wanting to see a sign? A pervert and a contrite. Don't look for a sign. "But I don't see any." You plant and you water. I take care of the rest. And oh, when I understood that, it's like a burden rolled off my back. Because when we're trying to do the Lord's work and not our work, it just don't work. Some people are made to do one thing and some people are made to do another. Oh, yeah, some people are made to witness and some people aren't. No. We're not going to come by with this one. I've got a brother-in-law. He said, "My gift is teaching. Your gift is witness." No. God says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." He didn't say some teachers are going to go. He says, "Go ye and preach." There's not some so winners and some that's not so winners. We all are told to go and tell. And don't give up, because they're going to persecute you. They're going to spit on you. They're going to do a lot of things to you. Don't fear. He's overcome. The battle's over with. You know, when a little boy gets a spanking, girls don't do this, just the boys. When they get a spanking, when they go out of the room and mama's not looking, what do? You know, that's all the devil's doing right now. He's already going to get it, and he knows it. He's just grabbing all he can do before daddy sees him again. You remember the time you got a whooping? I do. And I walked out of the room, and when I got out of the room, I just did like that. Oh, thought I was going to die. But I couldn't. Satan's throwing his last fit. He's going to do all he can to discourage you. Just like he did Job. He got up there in heaven, and God said, "Have you considered my Job?" "He's got a hedge around. He's got a fence. You can't touch him." "No problem. Try it. He'll stand." "Oh, no, he won't." "Will you stand? Will you stand when Satan takes everything you got? Will you stand? Will you still be in the process of emptying so he can fill, and emptying so he can fill. Will you be like a river and not a lake? A lake has running water. In other words, as the Lord fills, dish it out. Dish it out. I can't be a missionary. You know what a missionary is? Just like you and me. We figured out how to be a bucket brigade. As soon as he fills it, we empty. We go home overnight and we sit there and read. And we fill our cup and we go out and empty it. We come back home and read it and go out and fill our cups. We just figured out how to do it. You can be one. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is the qualifications for a missionary. It's all you need to be a missionary. Right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. See it? What does it say? For if there will be first a will in mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, not according to that he hath not. What you got is what he wants. But I can't. Who made you? What was Moses' excuse? But Lord, I'm tongue-tied. It don't matter who. If there was a bush in here and it started burning, everybody in here would be tongue-tied. Right? Don't knock him. If you saw a burning, you're out in the middle of the desert out there, and you walked up and you saw a burning bush, you'd be tongue-tied just as much as he would. Speak. I'll be the words for you. You're not preaching yourself, you're preaching the gospel. That's why he wrote it. It's a written guarantee, not a verbal guarantee. It's written, signed and sealed with his blood, with no apologies. I apologize for none of it. I apologize for my mistakes and my words, but I'll not apologize for the scripture. There's no apologies. And he says, for if there first be a will in mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Verse 17 says, for indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went into you. Well, Lord's got a calling. Nope. He heard the message. He read the word. He exhorted himself and he found the doctrine and he went out and told the world. But he wasn't called. God's looking for a willing mind. He's not going to call nobody. Because he already did. He said, go ye in all the world. You'll not hear his voice speaking to you. If you have read and you believed, you will go. You know, in Psalms 14, it says, the fool, what? Has said in his heart, there's what? No God. You know what that means? He said in his lips, oh, how I love Jesus. But God isn't powerful enough to say, God can't do this. He can do that. He can help you, but he can't help me. You know what that means? He said in his heart, there is no God. There's a God for you, but not a God for me. So he's a what? He's a fool. He called God a fool. He said for us to read, exhort, doctrine. In the morning, you read, exhort, and doctrine. At noon, you read, exhort, and doctrine. At night, you read, exhort, and doctrine. You spend your day doing that. But I don't know if I can tomorrow. Oh, but look what a mess I've made of my life. Yesterday's gone. Don't worry about it. You can't bring it back. Tomorrow, Hank got here yet. Hank is in the dictionary now. Hank got here yet. Don't worry about it. Take care of today. There's still time. There's still milk in your glass. So, what if I can't, money don't come today? It ain't got here yet. Hadn't the Lord provided for you? Has he let you down? He's took care of you. He's took care of me. I remember I was raised on the mission field. I remember many a meal. I remember one time, there wasn't even one piece of bread in the whole house. We didn't have enough money to buy a tank of propane to boil the water, to drink the water. We ate everything that breakfast. There was nothing for dinner. I remember Daddy going in his room. He spent all morning. He'd come out, went in the kitchen, got the grocery bag, and walked about 20 miles into town. He went by the post office. There was nothing there. It was past time for the mail to run. He went down the street, said, Lord, I've got to eat. He went back in there and opened the box
And there it was.
He had a payment he had to make on the vehicle that we had. It was past due, and they had already sent him the notice that they had to pick it up. In the letter was the clear title to the vehicle. In the letter was a $100 bill. In the letter was some other things that I don't remember all. And he went down and bought groceries, and he got home before 12 o'clock, and we sat down and ate. I've never missed a meal. Never will. Because he prepares the table before us. He'll always prepare it. I remember as a kid, we'd come back and we'd go to churches and people come up and say, aren't you scared on the mission field? I'm scared. I'd look at them and say, what's the matter with them? I thought they were crazy. And today I still think the same thing. But no, because I knew the message that my father was bringing was the same message was in my heart. And he gave me peace. Well, aren't you missing anything? Don't you miss all the other friends? No, no. You afraid you're not going to get an education? Oh, I got the best education on the face of this earth. Amen. Mama taught us memorizing scriptures. Mama taught us read the Bible. 3 times a day we'd sit at the table and read the Bible. We'd take turns. Before we go to bed, we'd read the Bible. Not one or two verses, no. We'd sing a song and go to bed. But before we'd leave, everybody would pray. And then when you get to bed, we'd pray again. Don't remember missing a day. And when the Lord called me to be a missionary, so, well, aren't you afraid? No. That's the way you live. I don't know any other way. And I wouldn't trade it for love nor money. You don't know what you're missing. You're missing the song that Lester Roloff used to sing a lot. I'm living by faith, and I feel no alone. You're missing that sweet to serve the Lord. When you put them three things in order. I remember there was a time in my life I didn't put them three things in order. And it didn't go well. But I still didn't miss anything. He still took care of me. And I thank the Lord that He lets me meet people like y'all. And I thank the Lord for y'all helping us all these years. Time I see Brother Kincaid, I think of Daddy. I don't know, in that era of time, God made some people, and you'll agree with me, they don't make too many more like them. Something about them just tough. Not like an old alligator. They bite like crazy, but they keep on plucking. The alligators don't have lifespans. They live so many years and then die off. Alligators just keep on getting older and older. I think of them old preachers that I used to hear, and I wonder where they go to. Wonder where they're at. I wonder what they're going to say about us when we get old. Will they say, man, he ain't nothing like his daddy. My prayer is, when I pass away, they say, he's tougher than his daddy. But I don't want to be tougher in the sense of getting out of the scripture. I want to be tougher in the scripture. It's like Elijah. Elijah wanted a double portion. I want a double portion. I look at daddy as Elijah, myself Elijah. I want a double portion. I want to do more. He set me up to be able to do more. I didn't have to go down there and scrape. I remember when we first went down there, we lived in a mud house. No lights, no water, no bathroom, no carpet, no cement, no acoustics in the ceiling, and a hay bed. I remember living that way many years. But you know, when you serve the Lord, He gives you handfuls on purpose. You know, sometimes it comes along, you think everything's all gone. Think about giving up. But He'll come along and give you something that's real sweet. About a year ago, the Lord gave us something very sweet. Started out sad. I don't know how many of y'all know Chuy Campos, pastor we have in Laredo, who is down back on the other side of Torreon. He's out passing out tracts, witnessing, and come upon a man, he's sitting in front of his house, had his legs cut off right here, sitting on a newspaper. And he come up and said, how you doing? May I speak to you about the Lord? Nope, don't want to hear it. Nothing about it. With a few extra words added to it. Sorry, may I get you anything? Nope. Yep. And used a bunch of beep. Said, do you have a wheelchair? Nope. Can I get you one? Nope. So when Chuy got back, he'd come over to the house and said, hey, do you have one of them wheelchairs? Yeah, I got one. Had wheels messed up on it, so we straightened it up, cleaned it up, took it back there to him. Rolled up the house. I brought you a wheelchair. Don't want it. Used a couple of extra words added in there. So Chuy just left it there and left. We come back and we go down there every 3 months. We went back to see him and he wouldn't come out. We got back. He sent one of the fellows over to where we're having a revival at, about 40 minutes from there. And so he wants a Bible. Lord, open the door for me. He took over there, and he is going to witness to him. He said, hand it to me. It's free, isn't it?
Yes, it's free.
Took it, shut the door, turned and walked. I thought I was going to witness to him. Nope. Don't forget, some plant, some water. That don't work. So, should he come back, and he was telling me about how he took the wheelchair, but he just took the Bible and turned around. I don't understand. So went down there 3 months later, and he called him over to the house. They said, I want you to have a revival tonight at my house. I want you to preach here at my house. Okay. So we got there. He had 47 people there. Preached. 17, 20 in between 20 and 30-year-old men got saved. No women, no children. And after it's all over, he come up and says, I'm obsessed. And about the next service, next 3 months, went back down there. They called us to come over, preach again. They said, you know what I've been doing while you were gone? Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, I've been sitting there, sitting everybody down out there, and we read the Bible. You know what he told us 6 months ago? Out in front of his house, he marked off a piece of land. He said, I'm getting the deed made up for this, and I'm going to give you the deed to it. And we agreed that we're going to put a building on it, and we'll give the church. He said, I'm not going to have no ties, no strings, no nothing to it. We're going to build it, and we want to preach in it. And now we've been going down there just about a year now, and there's never less than 70 and 80 people that he brings in. And there's people saved. And I've got a picture back there of that man in the wheelchair getting baptized. We went down there, what has been about 6 months ago, and he said, I need to be baptized. You're baptizing everybody else, but you're not baptizing me. Why? Well, I mean, you're crippling. How are we going to get you in the water? He said, I'll figure a way out. So he got into his car, and he told him where to go. I don't know how many of y'all seen irrigation ditches. They're about that wide and about that deep. And he said, pull it up to the side here, and drove it up right on the little edge. And he scooted down out of that car, slid right down to the bottom of it, mud and all. Baptized me. It's not what you don't have. It's what you got, what the Lord wants. And all you got to do is give it to him. And you'll be surprised what the Lord can do with a little wheelchair. What do you have to give him? Do you have anything to give him? Oh, I don't have nothing like that. What did we read over there? If there be first a will and mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, not according to that he hath not. Give yourself to him, please. Take what you got. I don't know too much scriptures.